If you're visiting for the first time, you're so welcome. And we're just really, as you've heard, really excited about the way God is moving. And I just want to honor the people who are bringing people to Healthy You, because there are some people coming who are really being drawn to Jesus, not yet saved, but they are being drawn. And you know, that's the goal that Jesus has. Is otherwise, you'd have gone to glory. You'd gone to heaven if you're saved. You'd already gone. But we're here to actually make sure loads more people go through faith in Jesus and are forgiven of their sins and have a new life so that they can be in a relationship with God here on earth and forever. This morning, I want to continue with a kind of theme. I began last week speaking about the shield of faith and how every Christian is a soldier. And that might not be your mentality of who you are, but the Word of God changes the way we see ourselves, doesn't it? Jesus said that we're all soldiers through faith in Him, and that we're enlisted. As we are born again, we come into God's army, which is the church. And every individual believer is a soldier. And there are two roles, really, main roles in the life of a soldier, apart from to please the one who's enlisted him, which is the goal of all goals, to please Jesus, to live our lives to please Him, is that the life of a soldier will involve both defense and offense, be on the attack. So you're a soldier in the army in Christ, and you have both defense and offense. And Ephesians chapter 6 speaks about this armor, being strong in the Lord and putting on the armor of God. And I'm not going to go into all that. You could preach for an entire year on what Paul is saying about how the soldier is to be dressed by faith in Jesus and how we're to put on certain things and where. Put on Christ, actually, ultimately. To continue to establish who we are in Christ, the truth in our lives. And of course, lifting up the shield of faith, where, remember last week, the arrows, the fiery darts, fizzle like a match in water as they hit the shield of faith, your faith. As you raise up your shield, the devil's arrows fizzle. Okay, and so this week we're going to talk about attack. But first of all, I'm going to read this scripture, how to go on the offensive against Satan. So let's just read verse 10 to 12 and then verse 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not your own strength. You don't come against the enemy in your own strength. You come against the enemy in the power of God Himself. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So Paul speaks about this spiritual war that is going on all the time, really. And it's coming, the enemy attack is coming primarily against the church, every believer. Why? Because every believer has already won the victory through Jesus over the enemy and has power to change the world. Amen. And to see people come out from under the power of Satan and into the kingdom of God. So in other words, he sees you as a threat. You don't feel a threat this morning, do you? But that's how the enemy sees you. You are a threat to him because you have Christ in you. If you receive Jesus, you have Christ on the inside, living in your spirit. Therefore, he knows that if you know what you have in Christ, you are a big threat. So he will come against you. He will oppose you. And the way that Scripture describes this spiritual war against these principalities and powers, which actually just means the principalities and powers bit. There are demons, there are kind of, you know, you can have one evil spirit. Some people are filled, can be absolutely possessed by the devil and have a legion, can have a lot, let's put it like that. Other people can have a few. But if you're a believer, the devil doesn't live on the inside. You have to be born again first, but then the devil is evicted out of your house. Okay? But there is this kind of hierarchy, principalities and powers, which are kind of like a geographical influence over regions. But then there's the individual kind of assignment of Satan sending out his little demons. And I emphasize the little. They're all little in against Christ. All of those. But I'll show you that later. But he sends out individual demons to hassle you and me. And sometimes bigger guns come, you know. Sometimes I remember with Smith Wigglesworth when he woke up and he had a vision of Satan at the foot of his bed. He saw kind of a real demonic presence. And he looked up and he went, "Oh, it's only you," and went back to sleep. So that's kind of like he knew who he was in Christ. So, you know, he wasn't like, "Whee!" He was confident of who lived on the inside of him. His confidence wasn't in Smith Wigglesworth. It was Christ in him. But this scripture speaks about standing against the wiles of the devil. Now, the word wiles we don't use very much in today's speak. But it means the strategies and the schemings or the plots of the enemy. And the enemy is the most deceptive one there is around. And he knows exactly how to scheme against you and against me. So Satan actually is very wily, we would call him, or very strategic in the way that he schemes against you, which is why, as a soldier, you have to do something to fight the good fight of faith. You have to be proactive against the enemy and not say, "Well, this kind of particular message isn't really for me." Because Satan is always out to, primarily, his primary goal is to steal your faith, to rob you of what you believe about who God is, what you believe about who you are in Christ, you're standing against him. And what you believe God has promised you and for your future. He tries to rob it. And he tries to oppose you as a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ. You're enlisted. And you're enlisted to serve the one who called you out of darkness and into light. And we're all servants of God in this room. We're here to serve God. And the devil will oppose you, and he'll be clever and wily about it. And honestly, in verse 17, we read here, "Take up the helmet of salvation." But my main focus of this morning is, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, so this, you could say, all-encompassing sword. There are many, many words, all scripture, all of this in the Bible is like the sword of the Lord. So not your thinking, not what the doctor says, not your symptoms, not your situation, taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that is the only offensive weapon given to a soldier in Christ. The only, the one and only word of God. All you need is a word from God. But this is the sword. Now, all of this is the sword, the word of God. But it's the sword, this is how it kind of is communicated, the Spirit supplies. When you're born again, there's the most wonderful relationship with God begins. And the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And Jesus said he will take what is of mine. Jesus is the Word of God. That's another name for Jesus, the Word of God. He takes what is of Jesus and he makes it known to you. He brings it to your mind, to your remembrance. So there's a wonderful new relationship you have with God, is that you kind of, you hear the word, you read the word, but in any situation when you are being opposed by the enemy, or when you see the enemy is attacking you and you need to see a victory, the Spirit supplies a particular sword or a particular word for that situation. It's a Spirit-given word. A Spirit-given word. Now, when you think about the soldier, I had this picture running through my mind all week of, you know, how before Caesar, the old ancient soldier, Roman soldier, would come down and kneel before Caesar like that, wouldn't he? Have you seen the movies? Have you seen them all dressed up in their garb and, you know? And it's almost like our stance before the Lord is bowed. That's what it means to live in submission to the commander. Not here to please yourself. You've been enlisted to please God with your life. And so, but you need to have the kind of the weapon that's going to win in a particular situation, a particular word. And it's like before the Lord, I bow and he gives me a word. I pray and he gives me a word. Now to the human mind, you don't think that's what's needed, but in every situation you need a word. You need a scripture that the Spirit gives you, so that you can bring a victory over the enemy. So we live bowed, but as soon as we've got our weapon, we stand against the enemy. With the authority and the backing of God, all scripture is God-breathed. It actually carries the power of God to defeat Satan and all that Satan does. Opposing you, and opposing others, your family, your health, your marriage, your kids, your destiny, your finances, all of it, and your mission, your God-given call. The things, the people that God has prepared for you to reach. You need a weapon, and that weapon is the Word of God that the Spirit gives you. Now, the thing about you and me is often, oh, we can be so feely, thinky, worldly, kind of stuck in life. Life is busy, isn't it? And there's so much to do. And you kind of can miss the things you're wrestling with and struggling with as being life. Yes, that's right. You say, well, that's just life. Well, maybe it isn't just life. Maybe the devil's behind it. Is anybody listening to me this morning? And you know, you're just like, oh, settling, well, that's them, that's this, that's life, that's whatever. And you kind of just settle into a natural viewpoint. Whereas this is speaking about our wrestling, not against people, but against powers and principalities. We are here to bring peace to people and to love people. Not here to fight people. That's another religion with its roots in the devil. Hello? The Christian is a peacemaker. Those who are sons of God are those who are peacemakers. But I don't know if you've noticed that the devil talks. So how can you recognize the devil? Well, we need to understand he talks. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus, he's 30 years old. He hadn't done a miracle yet. He had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was getting his orders from another. Jesus lived like this, bowed, submitted to his Father's will. That's why he had victory over the enemy at every point. You want victory? Bow first. Okay, so Jesus is filled with the Spirit, and he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he is fasting for 40 days. How many of you want that call? Any takers this morning? Where he was fasting for 40 days. And you can read the scripture. It says, after 40 days. I think this is really interesting. It was after 40 days, Satan said to Jesus, not day one, not day two, not day five, at his low point, physically. How many of you know that the enemy loves your low points? And he capitalizes on your low point. When you're tired, hungry, or needing something, or when you just had enough of what you're in. That's when Satan starts talking. When things go wrong and you're really at your wit's end, Satan starts talking. Are you awake? This is what you can get this. I think this is really interesting. I've never seen it before. And he talked three times, not just once. Different things. Did God said, if you're the Son of God. He was trying to tempt him to find another alternative to obeying God. Find another way, the easy way out, the Christian life. Just do it the easy route. Whereas God says, a good soldier endures hardship is serving the one who enlisted him, is living a life of obedience. That's where the life of victory is. So Jesus is at his kind of weak point. Satan talks. And you know, I love the just the straightforwardness of Scripture. Jesus didn't do what you and I can do. I'm under attack. Oh, I feel low. And then you know what I heard. Jesus didn't do that. And he was a man just like human. He was just like you and me. He has empathy, sympathy with us. But he didn't let what he felt rule him. As soon as you let what you feel rule you, the enemy has the upper hand over you. So Jesus, he also didn't reason it. You know, you're Christian thinkers. The devil says something, well, let's just think about that. Well, let's just assess that. Well, good. He's right. That thought. You see, sometimes the thought, you don't recognize it's from Satan. And it can just begin to meditate on the inside of your mind. Because the enemy knows if he can get your mind and you continue to meditate on it enough for you to feel it and act on it, you've lost the current battle. You haven't lost the war because Jesus won it. But you lost the current battle. And so Satan talks, and you better know it. Are you listening this morning? Satan talks to you. He talks to me. Shall I give you a little talk Satan had with me this week? I shared this on Tuesday night at Healthy You, which is amazing. So Tuesday morning, I always have time with the Lord. Like you, I trust. Because I know I'm not ready if I haven't got a word from God. I kneel before the Master and pray. Bowed. Actually, I'm just sitting there with my cup of coffee. I always have a cup of coffee when I talk to Jesus and hear the Lord through His Word. God speaks to me through His Word. So I pray. And Tuesday was Healthy Unite, so I was praying, I was seeking God and saying, Lord, speak to me. I need a word that will equip them to believe for a healing. Going through the Bible. So, having a sip of coffee, my Bible. Thank you, Jesus. I trust you. And I start to read one of the miracles of Jesus. And all of a sudden, this thought cuts across my mind and says, it's like a voice. And yes, you do hear voices. Internal, in your head, not external voices. A voice, you do, you're not weird, it's all right. Jesus heard a voice. Satan was talking to him. So we do know Satan talks. Do we? Yes, we got it. Foundation is the scripture, not your experience. The foundation is the word of God. That's how it works. That's how Satan works. And he said, this thought, Satan, I recognize it as Satan, because he said, well, you won't be able to do that tonight. Minister faith for healing or heal the sick. You haven't got the power. Now, I know my Bible. Praise God. I've put a bit of store in. I've stored up. The more you store up, the more victory you can have. Hello, anybody? Just tell somebody that was good. The more I put in, the more victory I can have. The word of God grew mightily and prevailed. Amen. Brings a victory. So putting it in. Satan talks to me. Now, can you believe the rudeness? Here I am talking to God and Satan starts to interrupt. I'm in God's presence. Isn't it interesting in Revelation it says, Satan, the accuser who accuses before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word. And I actually thought this image came to me. As I'm right, and I thought, I could almost in my mind's eye see a snake with a great big head sitting on my shoulder. Because Satan in Scripture, in the Garden of Eden, was a serpent. And he went, did God really say? And then he contradicted Scripture. And so I heard the hiss. You can't do that. You don't have the power. I just said, quite calmly, okay, because I'm not marching around. I'm in a very comfortable position with a coffee. Sometimes I will just get up. Because I know that I need to energize my spirit and start praying and ask God for a word. But this occasion I said, you see this? Bible? I believe every word of it. Come on. And God has said to me that I have authority to heal every sickness and every disease and cast out every demon in His name. Because that's written. It is written. That's written. Well, the hissing went quiet. I don't blame him. Because he answers. He has no answer to truth. He is defeated by truth. By a word. He's defeated when you start talking back. Not feeling back, nor thinking back, nor panicking back, but talking back. What about this one? Is anybody, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had time with the Lord and Your relationship with him is the most important relationship of your life. If you don't have time with him, repent. Say it nicely, that means make some changes. No comment. But really, seriously, you will lose out in so much. You'll be robbed of so much if you don't have time in your relationship, prayer and the word. God speaks. This is his word, his truth. And the Spirit takes the truth and speaks it to me. Have you ever had this when you have time with the Lord? And like I like Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. So I'm reading Ephesians and I'm going, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. The power of his might. It's not sinking in. Let's do that again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. What am I having for tea? Is anybody? I'm talking to a room full of converts. Isn't it amazing you can concentrate on a TV program for 2 hours but not the word for 2 minutes? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. You have to do something to resist. Otherwise, your whole prayer life and relationship with God will be, oh, I feel confused. It never goes in for me. Never makes sense to me. I never hear God when I read the word. It is written, my sheep hear my voice and follow me, Jesus said. But you know, I could just allow that opposition and fight and war. While I'm relaxed and sitting down and having time with the Lord, I feel I'm at war. I could allow that to dominate my relationship with God and to prevent me from really enjoying revelation, God speaking to me and me ruling over Satan. Am I talking to people who know what I'm talking about? So Satan talks. Jesus talked back. Every time Satan talks, he spoke. He didn't think. He didn't remain silent. God supplied. The Spirit gave him a word and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, I was reading the other day about a missionary to China, and I don't know when it was, so I can't give you the dates, but he went out, was sent out to go and bring the gospel, the kingdom of heaven, really, to unbelieving Chinese people. And whilst he was there, he came in really strong, but whilst he was there, he felt a real change in his spiritual life. And he was actually, the powers of darkness were attacking him, were coming against him. And he was experiencing opposition whilst doing God's will. You can experience opposition whilst doing God's will. Remember when Jesus said, let's go across the lake? A storm kicked up to try and stop them reaching their destination. So the enemy will kick up storms or situations or trouble or sickness or anything to try and stop you reaching God's goal for your life. And so he was facing this opposition. And you know, I thought this was really interesting. He said prayer was becoming very difficult. Anybody had that experience where when you talk to God, it just seems so unreal? God seems so unreal. Your faith, Jesus, doesn't seem real anymore. And when you read your Bible, it's like, it's just words on a page, but not living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit in me. And wow, it's just like an explosion going off when there's no opposition, when my heart is set on hearing him. And he said, I just thought this whole fog, this battle that I felt but couldn't recognize. And he began to think, I'm a failure. This is not working. Whatever I do doesn't work. And he was so overwhelmed, he started to think about going back home and getting a job and stopping all mission. Has anybody here this morning ever been put off mission to win somebody to Christ because you feel it's pointless, it's no good, it doesn't work for me, so you back off? And at that point, a magazine came from England through the post. It was not in the days of email, by the way, so you know how you can get quick fixes these days. But that was a God-ordained magazine came through. And he was reading it, and it was explaining to, teaching on the spiritual war. And he realized, hang on a minute, I've not been thinking like a soldier. I've just been thinking like a feeling, a natural person. I haven't seen that this is a battle that is trying to oppose me and therefore the mission I'm here to see happen. And so he saw that the word was the answer. He said, I saw that Jesus, the victory that he won on the cross, was for me. And he quoted from Ephesians 2:6, how God has raised us up together in Christ, where Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all powers and principalities of darkness and spiritual forces of wickedness. Jesus has won the victory over all the power of the enemy already. The battle has already been won. And he saw that he was one of those, through faith, has been raised up and is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. Seated in that position of victory. And he started to have heaven's perspective on what he was doing. He knew it was God's goal to bring heaven on earth and to rule over all the powers of darkness. So he took up the sword of the Spirit. I don't know what he took up, what word God gave him. But he began to speak it out from his low point of depression, failure, and wanting to give up. Is this speaking to anybody today? And he spoke the word. And he said, immediately, as soon as I offered some kind of resistance and took up my sword, everything changed. And he went on for a fruitful ministry. He began to believe in prayer again. He began to hear God again. He began to see God at work. How many of us just sit in what we're feeling and don't recognize that there is a battle going on and it's opposition to you as the soldier who is supposed to rule the devil in Christ? That is the job of the soldier. Take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And until he saw what the problem was, he was powerless to do anything about it. Now, I believe the Lord is saying that we are in the days like Gideon's army, where God is raising up an army who are going to defeat the Midianites. That's the devil. But until we take up our sword and start to resist personally, the whole army can just be passive. You know that, don't you? You can have one or two people. You know, at war, apparently, when there's a war on, they train the soldiers that go through the same boot camp, that have the same weapons, have the same conditions going on. But they say 3 out of 4 end up not fighting. Think of it in this church, 3 out of 4 offering no resistance. This is God's army. The church is God's army. And we're all soldiers, and God wants to give you a sword that you will win and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You are more than a conqueror. Not will be. You are more than a conqueror in Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ lives inside you, and he has beaten every power of darkness. And therefore that makes you a winner in Christ Jesus. But if there is no fight in you, if there's no determination against the enemy, you know, you do need to get a bit fed up with what the devil does. Not go, "Oh Lord, well, I'll endure it like a good soldier." And the devil goes, "Brilliant, just keep putting it on, put it on. Just keep bringing on the trouble, bringing on the problems, bring on the bad report, bring on the lies." And you're like, "No, I love you, Jesus." Stand, soldier. Say something. Speak the word. And you will see victory through faith in God's word, God's sword. This is the sword of God, not a human sword. And God will bring immense victory through you doing something about it. This man was feeling, it was a real situation, overwhelmed. As soon as he did something, everything changed. Maybe a situation in your family, as soon as you do something against the enemy, it'll change. As soon as you stop listening to the lies of the devil that you're no good, a waste of time, you're a failure, you're useless, your time's over, you're too old, you're too young, you're too something. Satan is a liar and the father of every lie. God has a plan for you, and you are here to rule over the enemy. I'm going to finish with another of Satan's favorites, and I'm going to make you laugh while I was while we turn there. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. I know war. I'm well used to it. When we planted the church and we had a word from God, God promised us that he was going to raise an exceedingly great army. Isn't it an interesting army? A victorious people. I remember when we prayed, we received that word, we spent, I don't know how many months praying, three months seeking God, praying before we began the church, just two of us. I felt like I could hardly raise my head. Now I'm, as a believer, I believe in the joy of the Lord being my strength. But it was like, I felt this. I can't even get up in the morning. You ever felt that? I just don't want to get up. I don't want to do anything. And I felt like everything was dark. It was all. None of it was going to work. But I took the sword. God has promised that he will raise an army. And from that point on, the war, in essence, was won. But we're keeping on declaring the word of the Lord over this church, that this is as it shall be, because God has said it. It will be. And I know war every Sunday. And this morning, you know, I'm preparing for this message. It took me 3/4 of an hour to write 5 lines. I'm like, oh, no, this isn't making sense. Do it again. Oh, this is just trying to get my scriptures in a line, you know. I don't often use them, but I prepare. And I get the word down. And 3/4 of an hour, I looked at my message and went, ha, that's hilarious. This is ridiculous. And I'm thinking, nah, whatever, devil, it's going to be great this morning. I face war as soon as I finish. I face war during. Some of you actually communicate it to me. Seriously. It's like, you know, the enemy uses your expressions to communicate to me, this isn't working, you need to shut up. Or they've gone to sleep. It's an absolute bore. I bet it happens to every worship leader. When the army is supposed to be worshiping, there's just somebody standing in the back like this, oh, hands in the pockets, and you think, well, I'm not anointed, don't you? Am I talking what the devil says? Because you look out and you see the circumstances and people aren't bothered. Not you, of course. It's those that are not here this morning. Not engaged, not willing to raise your hands, not willing to give praise. And the worship leader goes, oh, I'm just useless. We fight the good fight of faith because we win it with faith. And we are not backing down. And in the way, you just have to go on regardless. But there is a communication coming all the time, even in the presence of God. Satan can talk. Yes. And so you can receive a miracle on Tuesday and the enemy tell you you haven't got it on Wednesday. Anybody receive something in prayer, being prayed for? You go out, yep. And then next day, there's no sign of that, is there? And the devil communicates doubt and unbelief. In that moment, it didn't work. And what are we to say? Take up by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. We take it up and we are going on the offensive. Is this good teaching this morning? Training for an army to be raised up. Now in Samuel, 1 Samuel, you know the story of David and Goliath. And I love this story. It's not a child's story, it's a soldier's story. Soldier in Christ. It's everyone in Christ. It's for children as well. But, you know, don't think of, oh, David, bless him with his little sling. Think of the Lord God Almighty delivering a whole army from an enemy. So it says in verse 1, now the Philistines gathered their armies together in battle. And, you know, there they were. They encamped. There they were. You know, you can read the names, and they're not normal for me, so I won't. And verse 2, and Saul said to the men of Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on one mountainside, and the Israel stood on the other, with a valley between them. Now a champion went out from the camp. So you've got God's army and the devil's army. Think spiritually, not naturally. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, who was named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Well, basically, we don't understand that language, but he was massive. He was mahusiv. We understand mahusiv, don't we? Massive. His sword was massive. His spear was massive. And what did he do? It's interesting, he didn't throw a weapon. Because Satan has been disarmed through the cross, stripped through the cross of Jesus Christ, Colossians says. What was the weapon he used? Words. He said, so there he's standing crying out, if anyone is able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. If I prevail against him and kill him, you shall be our servants. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. So in other words, there's intimidating. This is one of Satan's I think one of his favorite weapons is communicating, either through circumstances or direct words, fear and intimidating you. That's how you can recognize Satan. If you start to feel afraid, Satan's on the talking or communicating through a situation. And he's so big that the whole of God's army were afraid, very afraid. All the Christians were shaking in their boots. Let's put it like that. All the Christians were, it's little me, we can't do anything about this. This is a big problem. You know, they never had this kind of problem in that generation. You know, Islam, it's even bigger than that one. And what the enemy's doing over there in terms of the culture and society and the wickedness that's going on, oh, it's too big, it's too great, let's all sit down. The devil's so big. It's like you put Goliath under a microscope. It's like fear always magnifies the devil. And faith leaves you when you're full of fear. And all the army were sitting down going, let's back off. Let's sing songs now. Let's have another time of worship. Awesome in this place. But like, he's bigger. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Look at the side of the devil. In reality, let's go to reality this morning. What's actually happening? Are you singing awesome in this place to Goliath and saying God is bigger than you? Or are you saying on a Sunday we get together and God is awesome? But on a Monday, the fear, the intimidation, the voice starts again. And that's when you need to understand it's time. The captain of this army says, take up a sword. Take up the word of God. Start to resist the enemy. It actually goes on to say, not only did he say it just once, he kept saying it every morning. He would pop out and have another go. The devil repeats your fears to you, his fears to you, but he threatens you. He says it's not going to go well. Your future's going to look like this or your whatever. He threatens you with bad. Do you know what God says is good? God gives every good thing to us. Satan is out to rob, kill, and destroy. But he uses words, and he uses situations. And it was only until David, a faith man, stepped up and says, how dare you, Goliath, little old Goliath, defy the army of God? God's here. The size of God needs to grow and the size of your problem needs to be reduced by your faith on a Monday morning, not just in this building. And you need a sword. Take up the sword of God. You know, I can imagine, and I, you know, preacher's license, so just bear with me and I've nearly finished. I can imagine Saul, the king, he's supposed to lead this army. And he's like, I'm scared, they're scared. Well, at least we're all scared of the same thing. You know, there's unity in scared sometimes. What a disaster that is. We won't go in and possess the land. Oh, it's so big. Who's got a good report? Whose report will you believe? Who in this church has a good report? David had a good report. Faith report. I can imagine Saul. So he's in his tent. They're all shaking in their boots. In fact, they've taken their boots off. They're in their slippers. And comfort yourself with a nice hot chocolate. Just make sure you just calm down there. Let's have some counseling sessions. Let me give you a hug. Do you feel better, Saul? Do you feel better? Oh, it's not feeling better. We need to deal with the devil. We need to get on and deal with the enemy. Where's the sword? It's actually in the corner of the tent. He hasn't got the sword. He's just saying, pray for me, pray for me. Sometimes, you know, you don't need prayer. You need to take up the sword. And speak the word of God, knowing it will defeat every demon, every power, every principality that is coming against you. It is written. We are the victorious army of Jesus Christ. We already have the victory in Jesus. We're already in a position reigning, not fighting for victory, but fighting from victory. We are already equipped for every good work through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And God will give you, if you bow before Him and ask, give me the one weapon that will bring the victory in this. And you will defeat your enemy. And the kingdom of heaven will advance. And you know what happens with people who begin to win personal battles? They then can bring victory to the world. You can start winning battles for other people, but you've got to face your own and take up the sword personally as a soldier and win personally so that others then will experience the victories that you have won. I trust that this, although not being the most kind of teacher word this morning, I trust that there has been this light that has come to your heart and mind about recognizing how Satan works through talking, through circumstances, through feeling oppressed. And I trust that you will bow before the Master, your commander, and say, give me a sword. Yeah. There's none like it. This sword wins every situation. The sword of victory, the sword of the Lord, the word of God. And get some gumption. I'm back there on time. I went there, yes, last week. It's time for the gumption, which means determination. A soldier would sleep with a sword by his side, that if he woke up, you know, you've seen it, they're ready with a weapon. Keep the word in your heart and in your mouth. Your mouth. Satan wants you on the quiet, to be one of those quiet Christians. Because quiet Christians don't advance or win against the enemy. Tell somebody next to you, it's time to say it aloud. It's time to start talking out the word of God. And releasing victory over your circumstances and emotions and feelings and atmospheres. So that you are on the offensive and on the attack against the enemy. Other times, you know, we don't know why everything's so difficult relationally. Sometimes it's just submit to God, get a sword, and you'll see peace restored. With your kids, your grandkids, at work. Our battle is not, beloved, against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So we need to take up the sword of the Spirit, the God-given word. Praise Him. Praise Him that you have it in your power and within your reach to win. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Can we have 1 John 1:4 up, please? Oh, yeah, thanks. I'll keep that. 1 John 1:4. I'd like us to just declare the truth of this. John is speaking, this is being written really against right, kind of antichrist. So the spirit of the enemy is an antichrist spirit, okay? And it's not people, but people are being used by the enemy. And John says this, but we are of God, little children. Maybe I've given you the wrong one. 1 John 4:4. Sorry, Kirsty. We are of God, little children. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I think this is the most wonderful thing. Right now, if you have Christ in you, greater is he. Just tell yourself, greater is he who's in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I offer the enemy some of my resistance. I am going to stand against the enemy. I'm going to take up my sword and I'm going to declare the victory of God's word into every situation. Now I know this morning God has been talking to people who've been feeling overwhelmed, pushed down under a cloud of oppression, to people who have repeated fears going on, that it just keeps coming back. But I know there is only one answer, and that is the Spirit-given word. I can pray for you, but I need you to receive a word from God. Now, if you're a brand new Christian, can I ask that you ask for help to receive a word? Get with somebody and pray with them. Your Connect group leader, maybe, and just say, help me to hear God's word, so that I can take that one word and win this particular battle. Be specific about the battle you're facing. So don't be general. Get a word for every situation. Get a word. Be someone who knows the word about your family, about your marriage, about your kids, about your health, about your call, about the power that you have to heal the sick. Be someone who knows the word. And take up the sword. And say to the Lord, I'm sorry when I've been quiet. Let's all just repent. Sorry when I've internalized everything. Confess. It's a sin to not speak the word. To not do what Jesus wants. That's disobedience, which is sin. Jesus says to speak to the enemy. To resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. Lord, I thank you that you've given us wisdom from your word, that you say that we can stand against all the schemes and the evil plots of the enemy, that when the enemy talks to us and we're having time with you, we can recognize it and we can speak to him and resist and have a time of peace in hearing your voice. Thank you that we don't have to walk around confused and down and overwhelmed by the enemy. That we can stand against the enemy when you give us a word. And we pray that we will be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. That we won't just respond to how we feel or what we're fearing. But that we will take your word and bring victory. Even at our low points, when we're really at the end of ourselves, Lord, give us a word so that we can bring a victory. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.